Good to be with you all this morning. I'll tell you, I said last Sunday night, I believe it is, because grandkids are so cute, and there's a reason why they are. My grandkids love to share with me, and one of the things they shared with me this past week was a cold. And I got that starting like Monday, and it's got worse even into Wednesday. It's better now, don't get me wrong. I'm not up here trying to spread it to everybody, but it's not that. But just pray that the God will help me get through this here this morning. It's not COVID. It's not that. I know for sure it's not that, but just be praying for me as we try to get through this here this morning. One of the things I want to talk to you about this morning, so first off, let me say this. The title of my sermon this morning is called The Spirit of Rebellion. And I want to talk about that this morning because I believe that's something that needs to be, God has impressed it upon me though. Now I'm going to say some stuff here in a little bit, and I want you to buckle up. Because I want you to understand something this morning and understand this right up front. What I'm saying here this morning, what I'm going to say to you is not something to try to put you down or to hurt you. I want you to be better. I want you to grow. I want you to be what God wants you to be. And you may be here this morning not a Christian. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you know what? Listen, you can become a Christian. There's nothing stopping you. The only thing that's holding you back is you if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. If you're a young Christian here this morning, you may be doing stuff here this morning that you really don't understand, but the Bible says that you're to grow. And I hope you grow because of this morning. But anyway, like I said, I've titled my sermon this morning that that the spirit of rebellion. And by that, give me a minute here. I'll read the scripture. You may be thinking that I think I got a church full of rebels. I don't think that whatsoever. Not whatsoever. I don't think that. But I also know this. Understand this. If you're saved and want to live a holy life and work for God, you don't want the spirit of rebellion in your life. You don't want it there. You want to get it out of there. You want it so far away from you that it won't have nothing to do with you. There is a spirit of rebellion. Listen to me, there's because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. That's where it started. No, it actually started, and I'll get to that here in a little bit where it started. But Romans 5:12 says this, and this is not my scripture, so it said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Whenever they failed in the Garden of Eden, sin was passed on to everybody. As Greg said earlier, and I wrote this down, sin is in our DNA. It is there. And that's why it's important for you, if you have the spirit of rebellion, if you have a seed of rebellion in your life, it is important that you stomp it out before it keeps sprouting up and grows. Absolutely. It is something we need to do. It's going against the authority of God's word. We need to get it taken care of as soon as we possibly can. Because we need to live humbly. Amen? We need to live with humility in our lives, not haughtiness in our lives. And we are prone to do that. We should always want to be obedient. And we should not we want to be obedient and not disobedience in our lives. So I hope, as I get into this sermon this morning, I hope if there is a seed of rebellion that has taken root in your heart here this morning, that the Holy Spirit will put His finger of conviction upon your life and drive it out. Because you need it out of there. I hope you understand that. You need it out. I had many examples to choose from to preach from this morning. If I go into the Bible, there were many who ended up with the spirit of rebellion that overtook their lives. There was a lot of them. You get down to that Bible, there was a bunch of it in there. Remember the sons of Korah? They come against Moses. It talks about how they were. Absalom rebelled against David. I preached a little bit about that last week. And Jonah, the rebellious prophet. But the one that stood out to me, and the one I'm going to preach on this morning, if you would, turn to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. When you get there, you know, take time to when you get there, please stand and let's read God's word. I'm going to read 22 through and 23rd verse. Very familiar scripture to everybody, but 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Now I want you to get this, what he says here next. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king." Mark that in your Bibles. Rebellion is the sin, is as the sin of witchcraft. And let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Lord, I ask you, Father, to be with all those that are here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would just go with each and every individual, Lord. I pray, Father, if there is a seed, one seed of rebellion that's in anyone's life here this morning, I pray, Father, that the Spirit would show that to them. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that it would be wiped out and stamped out here this morning. It needs to be. For, Father, your word is specific in what's going on here. And, Father, we pray for that, Lord, this morning. We pray, Father, for your anointing. We pray, Father, for your Spirit. We pray, Father, for your love and mercy upon each and every one here this morning. And we will give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we ask. And amen. Amen. Now, to go into it a little bit farther, if you want to go over to Deuteronomy 18, I want to read some verses over there that I want to go along with this. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, 9 through 14, to get a feel for what God really thinks about rebellion. How, if he compared it to something, God must really want you to understand this. So if you go to Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14, it says this: "When you enter into the land your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their sons or daughters in the fires, who practices divination or sorcery, or interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults with the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of the same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations will dispose, listen to those who practice sorcery and divination, but as for you, the Lord your God will not permit you to do so." That's how much, that is, by the way, that's the NIV version, by the way. But what I wanted to tell you, that is how much God detested sorcery and witchcraft and all things associated with that. Now, for God to say that the spirit of rebellion is as of witchcraft, that's pretty straight out and forward, is it not? The similarities between rebellion and witchcraft, number one, are both demonic. Do you understand that? If you have a seed of rebellion in your life here this morning, listen to me. Listen, just straight up listen to me. That is demonic. That is not of God whatsoever. If you have that, and the spirit of a rebellion will almost always lead to deeper sins in your life. Always. When you open yourself up to rebellion, when you open it up, you're opening yourself up to other demonic spirits to come in and to take a hold of that. That's how much God detested what he's seen, what Saul had done. That's what he's trying to say. He said, I'm telling you right now. He said, Saul, he said, and he's saying it to all of them, if you have rebellion in your life, that's compared to witchcraft. Rebellion and witchcraft are both deceitful. You'll always find in the Bible. You'll always find it. Whenever there was a sorcerer or a magician in the Bible, there were things that were they thought that they were more powerful than what they were. Do you remember whenever Moses went before Pharaoh? And we all remember the first story about the first part of when he laid down the rod and it turned into a snake. Well, then the magicians of Pharaoh did the same thing. You know what? They could do that same kind of stuff for a while. But the Bible goes on to say over there that after a while they couldn't compete with what God was doing. As a matter of fact, whenever that rod turned, they turned their snake. Is this said that Moses, the snake, ate it? Is that right? That's what it says. Well, they think that they're more powerful than what they are. And someone with a rebellious spirit about them, they'll think that they're more than what they are. They absolutely will. They think that they're more, that they're smarter. They think that they're this, that they think that they're that. And this is, if you got to watch and you got to understand what's going on here. Rebellion and witchcraft are both destructive. Absolutely. They are both destructive and both will cause harm. That is why God called for extreme measures whenever he was dealing with Saul. That's why he called for this extreme measures. In Exodus, it says 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That's what God, that's how God viewed all that. In Deuteronomy 18, it said that there shall not be found among you, again, I'm going to read it, anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire or uses divination or observers of time or enchanters or a witch or a charmer, or the same scripture I read a little bit ago, with familiar spirits or a wizard or a neocommencer, which is the ones that talk to the dead, what I said earlier. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Listen, that's how much God hated witchcraft and what was into that, because he told him to get out of that. Why would God compare rebellion to that then for? Because God hated that just as much. Absolutely. Rebellion is like witchcraft. It is to be dealt with the same way. In 1 Samuel 15:3-4, King Saul was ordered by the prophet Samuel, God told him, to utterly destroy the Amalekites. This is what this is all about. He told him, I didn't want nothing left. I didn't want cattle left. I didn't want anything left. And there was a reason he did that. And Samuel made it clear, this command came from God, and it was to be obeyed fully. Well, Saul instead obeyed halfway. And I'm going to tell you something right now. In 15:9, he did that. He obeyed halfway. Can I tell you something? Partial obedience is disobedience. Amen? Partial obedience is disobedience. Absolutely. You've all had children. What if they obeyed you sometime? What if you told them that, you know what, I don't want you doing this, absolutely not, but they obeyed you halfway. Would you say they disobeyed you? Yes, you would say they disobeyed you. Absolutely. Partial disobedience is disobedience. And he was not given credit. Saul was not given credit for what he did, but he was condemned instead for what he didn't do. What Saul did was blatantly disobey the word of God. Yes, he did. He blatantly disobeyed the word of God. How now we could try and rationalize what he did, and Saul even tried to make excuses for what he did. He was told what to do. He didn't do it. Then he tried to make an excuse for it, and it cost him his kingdom. Yes, it did. And it cost his family. It cost his family as well. You see, it was at this time that God rejected him. It was at this time God regretted that he had made Saul king. You can find that in 15:11 over there in that same chapter. This incident here to me is one of the greatest lessons that any of us can have on rebellion in the Bible. Absolutely. And it tells what God thinks of rebellion. It tells us that we don't have to guess whatsoever. If you're one of those type of people that want to guess about what rebellion really means and what the consequences are, I don't think you've got to guess with this, because we see why God, what God did. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity of adultery. If we were to look at the word rebellion in the Bible, you know how many times it's found in there? It's found in there 93 times. Don't think God didn't take it a little bit serious? It was found in there 93 times. In Psalm 78, it talks about the sin of rebellion that can affect not only one generation, but can be passed on to another generation. Did you know that? It says, especially when it comes to teaching and living by the Word of God. And it goes to say, he wants them to teach them to their kids the words of God. And in verse 8, it says this, in Psalm 78:8, and that might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something here this morning, and this is on my generation. I don't lay the total blame on Generation X. I don't lay the blame on the millennials. And I don't blame Generation Z. And I'll leave it up to you to go find all those out. I blame my generation, for what they have allowed to just go on and pass on and go on and on. Because to this day, what we are reaping, what we sowed. Now, I'm painting with a pretty broad brush right there, but I'm telling you, that my generation, what we sowed, what was just like the multiflora roses out there. What we plant, what somebody had planted has spread everywhere. And I'll tell you what, it has spread down through the other generations. Now, you will stand account for what you do. Don't get me wrong. But we will stand account for what we did as well as a generation. Look at in Proverbs 17:11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Can you look at the messages that have been sent to us now as a nation? Do you look at the messages that have been sent? It said to be sent because of it. It says there, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. And if all you're seeking is rebellion in this land and in this country, there are cruel messengers that have been sent. How about plagues and diseases? We're going through one right now. Am I right? Chronic diseases. Now, I didn't know this until I looked it up. Chronic diseases are at 57% in the world population. Chronic diseases. Let that sink in for a minute. 57% of the world's population. And I didn't write down what the world's population is, but my goodness, that's a bunch of people. And it doesn't even include the pandemics like Ebola and SARS and MERS and H1N1, which is the swine flu, by the way, and even COVID today. It doesn't even take into account of those. And I'm here to tell you there are others coming. There are others coming that would make COVID look like child's play. How about political uprisings? And I didn't know this until I looked at it. 40%. There's 195 nations. And listen, when I go out there and I study for stuff, I don't particularly go try to get percentages. But it just comes my way. I just go down these rabbit holes. There's 195 nations in the world, and 40% of them have had political unrest in them. 40% of them. 8.9% of the world's population goes to beds without food in their bellies every day. That's 680 million people. There have been some pretty cruel messengers sent to this world to try to get it to understand the rebellion is wrong. There's just a few of the cruel messengers that have been sent to us. I'm here to tell you, and they've been sent because of the rebellion of mankind. Isaiah 30th chapter, the first verse says this: "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." I believe if you look at the scripture this morning, it's very clear what God thinks about rebellion. How about you this morning? As I look at this morning's scripture text also, I would like to point out something about rebellion. The first thing I see is, and I've already went over it, rebellion is a spirit. It's not, it is an evil spirit that is out there, that is roaming around this planet, along with a few other ones. And listen, it was first let loose on this planet whenever Satan rebelled against God. Remember? When Satan rebelled, what happened? It was him and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven. We all know that story. Then when it got to, then whenever Adam and Eve come on the scene, listen to me. What was the thing that got Adam and Eve in trouble? They rebelled. God said you could have anything that you want in that garden. Just leave that one. Just leave that tree alone. Just leave it alone. But as human beings are, they rebelled. It wasn't just leave that. We just couldn't leave that alone. We just can't do that. So sin passed on to, oh man, that's rebellious spirit is out there. Folks, I see it raging today. There is a spirit of rebellion out there today. There's a spirit that hates authority. I don't care what the authority is. I see it at my work. You see it at yours. I see it no matter where I go. I see there is a total disrespect for authority out there today. All of us, and I'm going to say this, this is for all of you, and you know when you point fingers, you always got some pointing back, and this is me too. All of us have this tendency of rebellion in our hearts. All of us do. I don't care who you are, you may be something back, oh, yes you do. You have it in your heart. You do. Because like I said, it's in your DNA. And some degree, you know, listen, but the trouble is that when some of us are prone to be given over to it, let it overtake us. Let it take a hold of our lives. And then that's when that rebellion just continues to spring up. There are times when there may be rebellion flare up in us. And listen, we don't take care of it right then, and then it starts to rule us. But if you're guided by the Holy Spirit, if you're guided by the Holy Spirit, whenever that rebellion starts to pop up in your life, you'll know. And you know what? You'll try to, it'll say, you need to get that squashed down. And it does it. But if you don't let it, if you don't mind the Holy Spirit, it'll grow. Unfortunately, there are those where rebellion is the norm within their lives. It is. Tell me if I'm right that children and teenagers, and listen to me, you can detect the spirit of rebellion in a child and in a teenager pretty quickly. I've got my children, and I understand this. I've got one who was pretty submissive, and I had one that was kind of rebellious. And I'll let you figure out which one that was. But I'm just here to tell you this morning, I can see it. I can feel it. And I want you to know that some children are more strong-headed than others. And if you have a child that's like that, would you agree with me? You have to deal with them differently than what you would have to with a more submissive child. I had to. We all had to. That's why it says in Proverbs, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's the first part of it, because I believe that all children to a certain extent have some rebellion in them at first. But if you have one of them children that is not submissive, that is very bullheaded and very hard-headed, the last part of that verse says this, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. And that's up to you. That's how you're supposed to deal with certain things in a child's life. A headstrong, rebellious child cannot be helped by giving them their way. It cannot. You cannot go out here and give rebellion its way. Because if rebellion gets its way, as the spirit that it is, it'll want more, and it'll want more, and it'll want more. And it's not easy, but God gave us the recipe to deal with rebellion. He did. He did, and it's got to be met head on. Absolutely. Like it did with King Saul. God met Saul head on, and God told him just exactly what was going to take, what's going to happen. If you could tell if someone has a spirit, they don't like to be corrected. Amen? If somebody has a spirit of rebellion in their life, they do not like to be corrected. If they're corrected, they will get mad, and sometimes they will pout, stomp their feet. Those that have the spirit will almost always argue with you about wrong and right. I've seen that. They will almost argue with you about wrong and right. They will resent authority. No matter whether it's at work, whether it's the government, whether it's law enforcement, you name it, they will resist it. They even find their way into churches. Absolutely they do. Because they cause trouble in every church that they go to. There are those who would never submit themselves to the sound biblical preaching and teaching of the Bible. They will not do that. They just can't do that. They don't want to do that. They will always find something wrong with it. They will always find something wrong with the teaching and the preaching at the church. They will always find something wrong. No matter what it is, they will find something wrong. That is a rebellious spirit that is working in them. Because no one is telling me how to live my life. You don't think that's not right? That's a rebellious spirit. Absolutely. They have the spirit of rebellion in their lives. They have a disdain for God. They have anyone who would dare try to show them the right way or even to encourage them the right way. You ain't going to do that. I've heard more than one person tell me down through the years, yes, I went to church as a kid. My parents made me go to church as a kid. And I could not wait to get out on my own. And no one's going to tell me anymore how to live my life. I've heard that more than once. That is a spirit of rebellion. I'm here to tell you this morning. That is exactly what that is. And you can call it whatever you want to. You can sugarcoat it whatever you want to. That is a spirit of rebellion. And it didn't start the moment they left home. That spirit started many years before. The spirit of rebellion that King Saul showed just didn't pop up on him right when he became king. It didn't. It was something that took place down through the time. Greg and him studying over in Samuel now. And he went through a little bit of this. If you'll notice King Saul's life as he gets through to it, there was more than just that one incident. There was other things, and it popped up and it kept getting worse. And it didn't, and he didn't control it, and it ended up manifesting itself in many other ways as you look down through it. You remember? King Saul ended up with jealousy. He ended up with insecurity. He ended up with hatred. All of the derivatives of rebellion, all these were popped up off of that. And that's how that it happened. Saul said in his heart, I know what God said. This is what he said. He said, I know what God said, but I'm going to do what I want to do, what I think is best. Remember, whenever he said, well, you know what? I thought I'd save some of those sheep and goats. I thought I would save the king because, you know what? That's what I think God wanted. No, God didn't want that. God said he wanted it utterly destroyed. Not only did it cost him his kingship, it cost him also his rebellion. It cost his family as well, his people as well. And in the end, this is what shows you the Amalekites invaded over in chapter 30. They ended up invading part of that kingdom because he didn't destroy them and burning a city and carrying some of the people away into captivity because he didn't mind what he was supposed to do. Makes no mistake about it this morning, brothers and sisters. Rebellion will have a price that needs to be paid, and that price will be paid by you and possibly by your family down the road. It can be manifest in a lot of different ways. Now, this is where I want you to buckle down a little bit. Because I want you to understand this morning. I do love you. But I'm here to tell you this morning. I think rebellion can manifest itself in a lot of different ways. It can manifest itself in the way you dress. 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also, the woman should adorn themselves in modest apparel. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I say. Well, I'm going to dress the way I want, preacher. Fine. I'm just telling you this morning, that's a rebellious spirit. It can be manifest in how you treat your body. Leviticus 19:28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. And you say, That's in the Old Testament. What's he talking? He's talking about tattoos. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. I want to say this morning. If you're a young Christian or if you had tattoos before you got saved, that's totally different. If you're a young Christian, don't know any better, that's totally different. Let me ask you this. Would it be okay if I come and spray painted your house this morning? Raise your hand. Let me know. Would anybody want me to come spray paint any graffiti on your house this morning? I didn't think so. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, if you wouldn't care. 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And get this. And ye are not your own. That's not me saying that. So, if I'm not allowed to come over and spray paint your house, and I don't want you coming over and spray paint mine, by the way, what makes you think that God wants you to go spray paint his temple, which is you? Oh, I know. I knew I wouldn't get many amens on this one this morning. You say, well, okay. Well, that's over in the Old Testament. That's Leviticus chapter 19. I want you to do something for me this afternoon. I want you to go home and read Leviticus chapter 19. And then I want you to pick out of there what you like and what you don't like and throw the rest of it away. And tell me what down through there is not right and what's wrong. If that is what you're trying to tell me, that God's saying that, well, you know what, that was the Old Testament. Do you realize what some of Leviticus 19 says down through there? It wants you to take care of the blind people and it wants you to take care of the deaf. Would you agree with me that's good? Well, you see, you just don't pick and choose. And can I say something else? And this is just me, my humble little opinion. Okay? That little cute butterfly that you get tattooed on you when you're young may look like a buzzard by the time you're 60 or 70. Amen? I told you, buckle up. Once you're saved, your body does not belong to you anymore. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. It can be manifest in what you listen and watch. Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Rebellious spirit, it says this, can be manifest in the company that you keep. 1 Corinthians 15:11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man is called a brother, a fornicator, or covetous, or an adulterer, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, what's it say not to do? It says, with such a one, do not even eat with them. Not alone hang out with them. I tell you, Saul paid a steep price for rebellion. And that's my point to everybody here this morning. I want you to understand this. Whenever I was doing this down through the week, and I started writing these notes, and I thought, God, really? This is what he said. I want you to preach what I want you to preach. You let it fall where it will, and you let the people take it the way they will. It cost him his family, and it cost him his kingship. It ultimately cost him and his son their lives because of his rebellion. In 1 Samuel 15:23, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king. But can I tell you something here this morning? With all that being said, there is a solution to everything that I just talked about here this morning. It's in James 4:6-10. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Because you know what? Ultimately, you know what rebellion is? It is a pride. It is a pride that needs to be taken care of. It's the root cause of it is pride. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, be ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Ye all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus said this in John 15:14. Ye are my friends, and if ye do whatsoever I command you. That speaks of not being rebellious, right? Amen? I'm here this morning to tell you, listen, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants to draw you near. He wants you to be stronger. He wants you to be all these things. But he wants you to get that rebellious spirit out of your life, that little seed of rebellion. Turn it completely over to him. Let him have it completely, 100%. What is in your life? And then you tell me. Then you tell me if what I preached this morning is wrong or right. Because I'm telling you here, I've seen the rebellion that is springing up didn't start with this generation today. It started in my generation. We want to sock it to the man. Remember that? We want to put it to the man. We want to take authority. Authority is nothing to us. It started in our generation. We're reaping what we're sowing today. And I'm here to tell you this morning, praise God, we can get an end to this. But we have to humble ourselves before God. Amen? I hope and pray this morning. I hope and pray you understand what I'm trying to get across this morning. Saul lost everything. I don't want you to do that. I don't want your family to go down these rat holes like that. I don't want your families to go down that. I want humility in your life. I want you to understand that, you know what? This spirit of rebellion is in all of us and it needs to be squashed. Or it will ruin you and it will ruin your family. Belinda, you care to get a song or you want me to get an overhead? If you have a need this morning, if you feel that spirit is within you this morning and it's springing up a little bit, this morning, today is the day we should take care of that. Amen. Right now. Don't take it out of here, because you take it out of here, you're going to chew on this message and you're going to say, that preacher is as Greg said, as his wife says, he said, you're an idiot. Right? I'm here to tell you this morning, this is God's word. Amen?